Our scripture today comes to us from Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And he said to them, that is Jesus, it is not for you to know the Father, know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to preach on the message, what is our mission? What is our mission? You may be seated. Lord, we thank you again for your grace that has allowed us to come to the house of God. We thank you for this time that we have to worship you. Thank you for the songs that have already been sung. Thank you, Lord, for our Brother Joe, and thank you for Reverend Givens. We ask that you would continue to work in all of our lives today. Thank you for the prayer that Deacon Graves prayed, Lord. We ask that you would just work in our hearts and lives and mold us and shape us into the person that you would have us to be. And now, Father, we ask that you would reveal to us what is our mission and how we're to go about serving you in a way that pleases you. Speak to our heart and change us by what we hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask a question. How many of y'all know the church's mission? I'm going to give you a clue. It's on the back of your bulletin. So as we look at our mission, we want to ask ourselves from time to time, how are we doing with this mission? You want to evaluate whether or not you're functioning, whether or not you're carrying out that work that God has assigned for us to do. So our mission says that we're to connect to Christ. Connect to who? Christ. Connect to Christ. Our connection is with God. It's important that you know that, and that you not only know that, but you pursue that. It's not a one-time thing where you check it off. Every day you've got to be growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Second thing on our mission says, to become like Christ. How are we doing with that? Amen. Yeah, a lot of y'all working on it, right? Yeah, I am too. Last time I looked in the mirror, a whole lot of Coleman showed up and a little bit of Christ, but that's something that we have to work on. And I say this because a lot of times we come to church and we don't reflect on becoming like Christ or serving Christ or connecting to Christ and belonging in the community and contributing to the cause of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, there is such a thing as a mission that has not been accomplished, or what we call mission drift, where you just kind of drift away from what you're supposed to do. It happened to Israel in the Old Testament. It's happened through the history of the church, and it could happen with us. Unless we know what is our mission, what is it that God has called us to do? Acts 1 and 8, before Jesus sent out the church, he wanted them to recognize. Now, this is important, and I want to just share a little bit of a testimony. I'd been concerned, worried about a couple of things, and none of them which I could change, but nevertheless, we worry because we can worry, right? And so I'm worried about situations with our organization, with our church, and you know, just things going on in your personal life, and you worry about it. Then I read the verse. I looked at the verse, and the verse said, don't be concerned about the things that the Father has put in his plan. You're trying to change things that you don't have the authority. The disciples had asked the question, Lord, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And look at how God answered them back. He said to them, now, you're concerned about restoration of the kingdom. He said to them, it is not for you. Everybody said, not for you. Some things are not for you. Some things are not for you. Don't try to do things that are not for you. Don't try to address things that are not for you. But now, if something is for you, and then Jesus came right back in the next verse, this is for you. It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has set within his own authority. The restoration of Israel, problems working out in your family, situations working out on your job, God's going to work that out. If you pay attention to the things that are in your life that's going on that God has said, I'm giving you authority to work on this, that becomes your mission. You got that? That's how that spoke to me. That's how that ministered to me. So let's ask this question, what is our mission? I just read to you some things that we developed several years ago. But are we doing that? Has our mission changed? Are we drifting away from that? Did the disciples stay true to their mission? Did Israel stay true to their mission of glorifying and honoring God? What is our mission? So we got a couple of things that we want to be looking at today, some concerns that we have, and that is the first one, lack of zeal. Now, we know that if God told you to do something, you're supposed to get excited about doing it, right? It's called the attitude. How's our attitude? How is it checking out as far as our really concern about doing what God says? Now, here's where a lot of people will address that thing. They think that zeal for God is coming to church and making a lot of noise. So that's like, you know, rattling something, just shaking it. And but if nothing moves, all it does is shake. What have you accomplished? How do we measure our zeal? You measure it in two ways. You measure it in your growth. Are you growing? Are you growing? Are you developing? Are you moving forward in this thing that God has called you to do? Then you look at it in your action, not just your growth personally, but your action. How are you working that out through the things that God has called you to do? It's important that Crossroad take a look at who we are and why we are in this community. Why aren't we located in New York or California? Why aren't we located in Pennsylvania or Wisconsin? We are in Evington, Virginia. Your mission is to serve in this place. Now, I didn't say only this place, because we've gone out, we've done things, we've done work around the world, we've sent to support different missions and all of that, but primarily, this is the place where God has called us to serve. Everybody with me on that? And you got to have zeal when you do it. Second thing is, this is a hard one. I might not get through with this message today, but this is really a tough one. We got a major focus on minor issues. We'll pick a little something and blow it up and say, oh, this is the most important thing that we could be doing. For instance, a lot of churches, and we used to be in the same category, we'd focus on fundraising. We got to get money in the church. Well, God has already solved that problem. If you would honor God with your tithes and offerings, you don't need to do a lot of fundraising. And the fact that if a church is struggling with that, it demonstrates that somebody is not being faithful. Either you're spending too much or you're not giving the way that you should. How are we doing with this? One of the other things that we want to do is that we say, well, okay, this crossroad now, I'm picking on you now. We got to get a lot of folk in the church. And man, we just got to get into this marketing plan and we can get hundreds of people in the church. Now, I got two problems with that. Number one, you can get a whole lot of devils in too. Amen. That's problem number one. Are you sure you want anybody in? Not that we want to be exclusive, but we do want to be careful with, y'all come on in. And folks can cause you major problems. Major problems. Let the Lord send who he wants to send. Second problem is with getting people into the church. Now we're focusing on something that Jesus said he would do. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them. How can we lift the Lord up? We lift him up in prayer. We lift him up by being faithful to his word. We lift him up by witnessing, amen, which brings us into our text. Amen. If there are no people that are coming to dinner, you must not have done the advertisement. If you do the advertisement, folks don't come to eat. When I grew up, all mama had to do for us to come to dinner was to just let the window up, which it stayed up most of the time. We didn't have central air. We didn't even have air conditioning. We had fans. You know the old church fan? We take them home. Anyway, that's another story for another time. But we're focusing on things that God has said. Listen, why are you doing this? Why are you focusing on minor things when you got a major work to accomplish? I don't know whether you all realize this, but unless you witness to loved ones and your neighbors and they die in their sin, they will go to hell.
Amen.
Now that sounds harsh, but it is a reality. There are people that are lost, and we've not made that a major issue. And it's not a tough one. I want to spend my time talking on the first part of this sermon because this is very important. Our mission as a church is to witness.
Amen.
It's to witness. It's to let others know that Christ is real. You don't have to beat people over the head with your Bible. You don't have to go there and say, look, you're going to sit down. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You don't have to do that. You can share. Let me tell you what Christ has done for me over the last week. Let me show you how he's done so many marvelous things in my life just the last few days. And you start sharing that, people are going to become interested in what you have and who you know. Are y'all still with me? And I'm concerned about this. I'm praying about this. And I'm asking God, Lord, what is it that I'm not doing? Which brings us to the third thing. We're not doing the right things. A lot of us say, well, I'm not doing wrong. I haven't cussed anybody out this week. I didn't cheat anybody, and I didn't take anything from my job. I used to take the toilet paper home, but I don't do that anymore. It's not the things that you are doing wrong if you don't do the right things. The right things become important. And what Jesus was admonishing the disciples to do is do the right things. They wanted to do God's work. They wanted to see what the future was going to hold. And a lot of them had in their mind, well, man, when he comes in and set up the kingdom, we're going to be around him. Yeah, Jack, it's going to be on then. We're going to have all this stuff happening. And Jesus said, that's not in your authority. That's not in your power. But here's what is in your power. So he wanted them to be witnesses. To be witnesses. Very plain, very simple. You don't have to know everything. Matter of fact, I've studied that book. I've read it probably now close to 50 or 60 times all the way through. And some of the verses, I still don't understand them. Many of the passages, when I go through, I'll get one thing from it. And God showed me through the Holy Spirit, it's like a deep well. Every time you let down your bucket, you're going to get something else out of it. Because his word is never exhaustive. It's always getting deeper and deeper. It's bringing more understanding to your mind, heart, and soul that you can grow in Christ. Now, that's my lecture part. Now I'm going to preach. How are we there? How are we with this? Do we have the zeal that we need to serve God? Are we focusing on the things that really matter? And are we doing the right things? That's the question. Here's the thing. If the mission is unknown, anything becomes a priority. Remember the story of Alice in Wonderland? And she ran across, Cheshire Cat or whatever it was. And Cheshire Cat asked her, where are you going, Alice? She said, I don't know. And then what Cheshire Cat said, well, it doesn't matter from there. If you don't know where you're going, any place will be all right. Anything will do. Have we settled with anything will do? Is that the attitude of the church, or are we striving for excellence in Christ? I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be the best Christian that I can be. I don't want to just do what's right. I want to do it to the point that the world will take notice and say, wait a minute, there's a child of God right there. There's a person that is moving forward in their faith. If you don't know what kind of person you need to be in Christ, then anything you'll settle with, you'll settle with anything. You'll settle with being average. You'll settle with just, let somebody else pray for me. You'll settle with the fact that I'm doing okay. I'm not like that person. And you'll never get to where you need to be. Remember, Alice was trying to get out of that situation. Are you trying to get into heaven? And it's not a work that you can do. It's a work that already has been completed, but you got to move forward in this faith. Amen? So how are we doing so far? So Jesus said to them, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here's the first point that we want to make. Here's the thing that we want to say to you. Your mission is certain. I used to love to watch Mission Impossible. Dun, 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 dun. Just the suspense of it, you know. I know y'all say, he is too dramatic. It's just me, okay. But it would come on, and then someone would say, here's your mission. It'd always be a recording. Always be a recording, and then that recording would burn up at the end of it, so there'd be no evidence of it. Our recording can't be burnt up. It can't be destroyed. It is an eternal message. Jesus used the word shall two times, which is a definite statement. A certain statement. You shall receive power. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. That power is not just the ability, it's also the authority. A lot of us want to get at church and we want to flex our muscle and we want to say, man, I got it. I can do all of this amazing stuff. So what? If you don't have the authority, and if God didn't tell you to do it, you're wasting your time. And so a lot of people will spend their energy and their strength trying to do stuff and say, look, look at what a great Christian I am. If you didn't have the authority from God, you've just wasted your time. But when God is in it, God will give you the ability. As a matter of fact, God doesn't want us to do the work. He wants to work through us to do the work. Not that you become a robot, but you are led by him. And I'm telling you, I've learned this from life's experiences. Some things in life that you've been able to accomplish, you couldn't handle it on your own. You would have never walked through that trial. You would have never made it beyond that situation. But the power of God swept into the situation, used you for his glory, and then brought you out on the other side, and you said, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for what you've been doing in my life. Thank you that I have the power. Thank you that I have the authority. How in the world could an 80-year-old man by the name of Moses just stretch out a rod across the Red Sea and it open up? He had to have the power of God. And I'm telling you, if you stretch out the rod of faith over your family situation, over the situation on your job, if you stretch out the rod of faith and said, Lord, only through you, those things will change. So our mission is certain. And then Jesus said, you shall be witnesses. Somehow or another, we've gotten into this title stuff. We're more worried about title. What title do you have? A title will confuse you. When I was in Halifax working at Tri-County, I was Reverend Coleman. I was Mr. Coleman. I was Bill. And all of a sudden, when I get to Lynchburg, I'm Dr. Coleman. I said, what? So I'm sitting in meetings, and I'm confused, like, I'm a what? I can't work on anybody. I'm still trying to work on myself. And I know that I do have an honorary doctorate degree. I thank God for that. But I don't have an earned doctorate degree. But I've been to school with Jesus. Amen. Are you with me? And I'm in the constant process of studying because I love to study. I love to learn. If you're the person that you don't love to learn, that you've already peaked in your ability to accomplish things in life, you shall be witnesses. It goes, it's not a title. It's something you do. Amen. You shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. Sound good, doesn't it? Amen. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to look at, not you can't look at yourself, but you can Do this. Pat yourself on the chest. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Now, what are you going to witness about? Which brings us to the next thing. Not only is it certain you're commanded. You're commanded. I'm almost out of time. I'll run through this real quick. But you're commanded. If you read Acts 1 and 8 and you don't read Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, you're going to miss the whole point. You're going to miss everything that Jesus said. Acts 1 and 8 really is the walking out, it's the carrying out what Matthew has commanded us. We call it the Great Commission. And I'll get to that in just a second. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore." Now, how is it that we in Evington, Virginia, in this church, when we assemble every Sunday, can go? You have this one thing that happens. One is you have what we call the invocation. When you come in, you're invoking the power of God, not just to say, we're going to start a service. Invocation is not to start the service. It's to get started in the things of God. Y'all got that? Invocation. You are invoking. You are saying, I need the power of God. Now, when you get at the end of the service, you have this thing called the dismissal. Some people call it, what's the title that they give it anyway? You're being sent out. This is what Jesus is doing right here. He has filled the disciples with his spirit, or he's getting ready to, but he's also going to send them out. You have the benediction. And when you have that benediction, it is not to say, man, I'm glad that's over. But remember, you just got filled. You invoked the power of God. Amen. And now you've been filled with the Spirit. You're just going to go out and do nothing? You can't just sit down on a full heart. When God gets a hold of your heart, he's going to move you to action. He's going to move you to go out and to share with somebody who's empty. And time after time through the book of Acts, you'll see people getting filled, going out, emptying out. Coming back, getting filled, going out, emptying out. It was something that happened over and over again until finally the gospel reached this place called Evington, Virginia, and folks got together and they got filled. And they said, we're going to start the Crossroad Baptist Church. Many of them were former slaves. They didn't have a whole lot. But God gave us an old brush arbor. And people said, we'll start there. And they started there. Then they built the first log cabin church. They said, hot dog, we're doing good now. Then next thing you know, we're going to put some boards on this thing and we're going to paint it and it's going to look nice. And they got a steeple. And next thing you know, 2019, Crossroad Baptist Church is sitting in this great edifice that we now call the church. And we're saying, man, we've arrived. You haven't arrived. Because Jesus said, go. That command is a continuous one. Keep on going. Keep on changing lives. And then finally, the mission is control. It's certain. It's commanded. It's control. You don't have authority over this thing. You're a part of God's program. God's working through you now. He's working through me. When I get these messages, it's not a message where I sit back and, matter of fact, I tried it a couple of times. I come up with my own sermons. I said, man, this is going to sound cool right here. This guy, I got a catchy phrase. Man, this thing going to work. And get up and fall flat on my face because that's not what God told me to say. But when I get up and I say what he told me to say, even if I don't get a lot of amens, I can say, Lord, that's what you told me. That's what you gave me. And I preached it to the best of my ability. You don't have to shout in every service, but you do have to think. You do have to think. If you've never been challenged, if you've never been prompted to move beyond where you are. So I want to ask this question. How's the mission prompting you today to do something different? How's the mission going to move us in a different direction so that we can say, I'm not doing minor stuff, I'm going to do major things? Right. Getting one soul into heaven Amen. Is a major thing. Yeah. And God says, if you work on that, I'm going to work with you. Amen. I will change you as you go about trying to change the lives of other people. So we're here that we would be able to witness for God, that we would be able to know that this thing has been revealed to us. That God is revealing things through the power of his Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, he worked through a cloud. And then when they built this golden box called the Ark of the Covenant, God worked through the Ark of the Covenant. And then when they built the temple, God worked through the temple. But guess what? There was a perfect revelation from God. And that perfect revelation was Jesus Christ. Guess where Christ is now? He is within you. He is within me. And he wants to be revealed to the world. Our mission is certain. Our purpose is certain. We know what God wants us to do. He wants us to let our light shine. And then lastly, our family is secure. A lot of churches are saying they're concerned about, and we're going to do things to secure ourselves. It happened in California where someone walked into a synagogue and took innocent lives. It could happen here. But we want to make sure our security is with Christ Jesus. We want to make sure that above everything else we've prayed, we've asked God to keep us in the face of danger, because we know that God is what? He's able. He's able to bring us through. He's brought us this far, hasn't he? And we've had some dangers, both seen and unseen, and yet the Lord has been faithful to every one of us. I hope you've learned something from this. Maybe you're thinking about some things. What is our mission? I wanted us to take a Selah moment, a pause, and reflect on this thing, because if we don't know what our mission is, anything becomes a priority. But when you know your mission, and then other things come along, you won't just run over here and say, I'm going to do this now. Crossroad has been a pioneer in many of these areas. We ventured in a new frontier, and we were scared. We didn't know whether it was going to work or not. I don't want us to lose that pioneer spirit, because I believe that God has called us to do that so that other churches can say, hey, you know, that's working. That's working. And then we can help them to develop some of the same things. Has this been helpful? Amen. Are you growing? Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your awesome love. Thank you for your power. And I pray that you would continue to use us as your witnesses, that wherever we go, we'd be able to tell others of your great love and of your kindness. Thank you for all that you do. And Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to extend the invitation. There might be one today that perhaps you're without Christ and without hope. And you don't have to be, because we serve a risen Savior. So I'm going to ask that we stand, and the invitation is given. If you've never received Christ as your Lord, or if you've never been baptized and joined the church, I want to give you that opportunity right now to accept him and to walk with him. Is there one?